Check out We Are Cavan Football Podcast in association with McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Real food, real people. Try Super Value's own range in store today. Quality products at one third the price of branded labels. McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Supporting local. We Are Cavan Podcast. Because Cavan's not just a place, it's a people. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the McAvoy Super Value GA podcast brought to you by We Are Cavan. On today's show, we're going to be crossing the divide between hurling and football. Two very big weekends, or two very big games coming in one weekend for Cavan GA in the hurlers in the All-Ireland or the League Division 3A semi-final, where they're taking on Sligo and Markovic Park. And of course, Cavan senior men's football team are taking on Fermanagh. In what some might describe as a dead rubber from a Cavan point of view, but as we get into it with Paul Fitzpatrick, we'll discover it's not a dead rubber. It's far from it. Paul, we're going to start off with hurling, if that's all right with you, because I think they deserve top billing. Promotion last year was a great achievement, considering I was saying this, and we'll hear from Dermot Carney in a little while, but from where Cavan came maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, to where Cavan are now, that's real improvement. That's continuous improvement. And for them to be in the top three in Division 3A, it's probably something, if I'm honest, I didn't see coming or didn't think was possible.
Yeah, I'd say you're right there, Damien. Like, I think what's a real motivating factor for the Cavan hurlers is that the moves were afoot to get rid of a few of these teams altogether. Like, it literally was an existential crisis for a few teams in their strata of hurling. And I think that has been a real motivating factor this year. But it hasn't just come about this year. This has been going on for a good few years now. There seems to be an exceptional management team, and the players are really buying into it. There was a great piece in the Irish Times by Dennis Walsh a few weeks back, where he interviewed some hurling fellas from different counties. And he interviewed Shane Briarty, and Shane was saying, "Look, it's an exceptionally good setup." And he said, "If it wasn't, I wouldn't be there. He wouldn't be wasting his time trips up and down for Dublin." There's other fellas, lots of fellas in a similar boat. Like, you've got the Coola fellas there who have been involved in a elite setup at All Ireland club senior winning level. You know, you have loads of really good players. Fellas have played underage for Waterford and Kilkenny there at the moment, and they've all been exposed to high level setups. And if this setup wasn't really, really good, I don't think they'd be getting the buy-in that they're getting. So I think the management deserve huge credit, and the players. And it's one of the real feel-good stories at the moment, because to go up a grade, lazily I would have thought, well, they'll probably come straight back down, but the experience of playing up there will help them for the Laurie Maher. To be honest, that's what I would have thought. And it would have been lazy analysis, but that's kind of would have been my reaction, because you don't hear of, you never consider Cavan playing in anything but the lower tier in hurling. But to consider them actually vying for a place to get into the middle tier there at the moment, it's incredible. It's an amazing achievement to get this far. And if they could actually go and make this final now, it would be unbelievable.
It really would. It really would. Like, it, and again, we'll hear it later on, because I didn't understand. I know that there's a restructuring in the leagues next year in the hurling. So they're getting rid of 2A, 2B, 3A, 3B, and it's becoming, so it's, and we'll hear from Dermot a little bit later on this. But essentially, it's going to be 1A, 1B, which are just two Division 1s, and then it's 2, 3, and 4. And Cavan have already guaranteed now, by finishing third, that they're going to Division 3, rather than going down to Division 4. Had they finished in fourth position in Division 3A, they would have ended up in Division 4, which would have been a cruel blow having gained promotion. But like the bottom three teams in Division 3A are now going to Division 4. So it's a huge achievement. And some of the teams that they're going to be playing next year are teams you'd never even think of. There may even be an away trip to London, depending on how this weekend's stuff goes. So we'll all be massive hurling fans ahead of that one, going over to Ryslip, hopefully, if the draw works out right and London stay in the right position. Tyrone, I think, have to do us a favour to take London's spot in the higher end of Division 2B. But it's brilliant. Look, we'll talk about last weekend's game, and after the game, Sean McCaffrey caught up with the manager Ollie Bellew.
Now, here company of the Cavan hurling manager Ollie Bellew, and just your thoughts immediately after that, Ollie. Semi-final to look forward to, firstly.
Yeah, I've said it about 1,000 times now. You know, this time last year, you wouldn't have predicted this, and we were kind of a wee bit nervous coming up, but we're just growing and growing every game. Hard day today, hard conditions, and hard to hurling for both teams, and Monaghan coming at us like a train, and really did. Monaghan did put on a good show now and give us our fill of it, but just delighted to be where we are. It's an unbelievable day for everybody, and we're just very grateful for the amount of people that come out today and such a bad old day to support us. You know, the lads did a great job in promoting it, and yeah, fantastic day.
It's a day, I suppose, where goals were going to win games. That's a clichéd line, and it was the goals. Brian Fitzgerald with one in the first half. When you were, I suppose, going toe-to-toe with Monaghan score for score. And similar in the second half, Monaghan had just eked into it, got it back to a one-point game, and up steps Ray and Delaney then as well with your second goal, and that was the difference at the end.
He's got a habit of popping up at the end of big games, and it was the league final last year, and he was only, I don't know, 18 maybe, and he popped over the point that won and actually got us here. So very fitting that he's played every game this year. He didn't start today. Just shows you the strength of the squad. We moved things around a bit, but he knew he'd be in, and when he came in, he just sort of put two fingers up to me and Tom and said, I'll do it, you know. So I'm delighted for him. He's a great kid. We're all very fond of him in the squad, but the whole squad's like that. We've a brilliant panel of players. There's boys that didn't even come on today who are outstanding hurlers, and it just shows you where we are. It's a great place to be.
Absolutely. Promoted, as you noted, last year from 3B up to 3A, and probably those on the outside would have said you could have possibly struggled in this division. So I take it one of the key things at the start of the year was retain your position in this division. That was done, and now into a semi-final.
Well, we looked at a league that had Mayo, Sligo, Armagh, Monaghan and Louth, you know, and you're thinking to yourself, where do you pick up your points, you know, and we tried to make this Fortress Breffni, you know, and I don't mean it to be a cliche or anything, but that's what we tried to make this, our home turf, and make it somewhere for teams to be really hard to come to. And sure as God, we won all our home games this year. You know, if somebody said that to you at the start of the season, that you're going to beat Armagh, Monaghan and Louth, you know, you'd take it with a pinch of salt, you know. But we came into all three games very, very confident, but very respectful. We knew today was going to be an absolute monster of a battle. Monaghan, very proud people, good hurlers, good side, good team, well managed, well controlled, and they absolutely gave us our fill of it. It was very physical and tough, but our boys are very disciplined and very focused, so, you know, great day.
And in regards to that promotion from last year, I suppose that gave you that belief, that winning habit, and it is something that has continued on for you as well, because the skills are there, the ability is there, it's just the belief, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we've a smashing backroom team that have them in great condition and great shape, right? Keith Green leads that up, and he's done a great job. We've brilliant statisticians and everything else to prepare all our video evidence. We know what we're doing every week when we go out, and Tom, tactically and in the coaching sense too, just has this team set up perfectly every time they go out. So I think the professional network around them gives them an extra layer of confidence. But they're confident, good hurlers themselves. They're confident, good players themselves, all successful at everything they do in life, in their work lives and professional lives. They do everything so well, and that carries through into their hurling. So they've no reason not to be confident. They went to Sligo with confidence, they went to Mayo confidence, lost the games, but they did what all good players do. They took the lessons from it and moved on.
It's been an amazing time for hurling in Cavan, because for years they hadn't fielded. They had to come back, they had to fight nearly for the right to have a senior inter-county team, and here they are now on the cusp of making back-to-back promotions.
Yeah, it's great, particularly in a year where you know, there was rumblings of maybe trying to remove counties from the National Leagues, like, you know, and there we are, going up with the Roscommons, Tyrones and that of this world next year. You know, we're stepping up another layer again. And probably the most heartening thing, you know, before today's game was there was a message come into our group, and it was from Drumalee last night, where Hurling and Camogie was launched, and big numbers out playing. And, you know, you see the work that's going on in clubs around the county, and for a new one to come on the back of that, and we said to the players before the game, that's not out of any structures or anything else, that's out of what these guys have brought to the county with their performances and with their pride with that they represent the county with. It's, you know, that was, there was no roaring and shouting before the game. That was all we need to do, was show the pictures of Drumalee last night, and the boys know how important they are to this hurling community here. And yeah, so proud of them, so proud of everyone.
Yeah, it's amazing that once, I suppose, the winds come in and the talk starts, and you see the jersey of Cavan out on the field and that success coming in on the back of it, everybody wants to buy into that, and you see it. And in fairness, it was noted in Monaghan last year, they won the Laurie Maher and the bounce that they got of that, even over the course of the summer, and clubs and youngsters wanting to pick up the hurl and pick up the slitter. Nothing different here in Cavan now. All of a sudden now you're being talked about, you're in this league semi-final, you're looking at a possible promotion. Everybody wants to be involved in that.
100%, and two neighbouring counties that sort of help each other out with their leagues, with clubs and things like that, you know, create competition for each other. And this was like, this was as big a test as we're going to get. The neighbours are coming in, and they're coming with, you know, real steel and real purpose. You know, they're proud men. You can see that they are a bit hurt today, and, you know, I'm sorry to see that to an extent, but it is all about us, and we're still trying to drive this thing throughout the county. And, you know, the crowds are coming in bigger numbers, there's more chat about it everywhere you go about the town. Somebody wants to talk to you about it before and after the game. People are hanging about, even on a day like today, hanging about afterwards to see the players. You know, they're becoming heroes for the younger generation. And, you know, I can't think of anything better to be doing with yourself than to be inspiring kids like that. You know, it's fantastic.
Absolutely. Just finally, it is, as we noted, Sligo in the semi-final. You've already played them in this league, and in fairness, it was a game as well where you give them their fill of it. They are and were the two top teams in this league alongside Mayo. So I'm sure you'll settle down. The video will be analysed again, and you'll look forward to that encounter.
Well, ordinarily, we get straight back to work on a Saturday evening. Unbelievably. Like, I mean, the hours that we put in before every game are nobody's business, but it'll be no different now. Look, we spoke about it being a free shot next week. We go out and see how much we've improved from the last day. We gave them a 20-minute spell that we didn't lay a glove on them, and they ran all over us, and rightly so. But nobody's under any illusions. Mayo and Sligo are the top two teams in this league. They're the two teams that are chasing the promotion. I mean, I think Sligo were maybe 7-0 up at one stage today, and Mayo were a class side. But we're not too concerned about anybody else. We're already guaranteed promotion now. We're up into that new tier. And, you know, next week, we're just going to go out and see where we are, coming into the championship. And, yeah, I know this team, and I know this group of players. They'll not settle for performance. They don't do moral victories. They don't do that cheap cliche talk. They'll go next week looking to try and win the game.
I think that's the real success in this Cavan hurling here, is that it's the Cavan players that are making the difference and are stepping up. We've had it in the past. You'd have seen it down through the years where two or three players might come in from, you know, outside the county, but they'd never have any support act. And it was the local lads were kind of letting the side down. Now the local lads are pushing the side forward. They're bringing it to a higher level. They're pushing everything forward on this, and they're by no means bit players. They're the most important players on the team. It's I think that's the biggest success that the management have got here, that their coaching is of such a level that they've brought players' standard up and their ability up.
Yeah, and I think that's inarguable. Really, Damien, because results would suggest that it's not a thing that they've just got a wave of top hurlers from traditionally strong hurling counties that have come into the thing, and we've seen results absolutely go through the roof. I suppose they were fortunate that Canis Maher and Nicky Kenny moved to the county. That's two lads, and Liam O'Brien is living in Cavan for the time being as well. But that's not enough to explain this upsurge in results we've seen the last couple of years. Plus, O'Brien wasn't there last year, and they won Division 4 of the league.
Canis Maher went off at the, or didn't play at all at the weekend, actually.
Yeah, so he went off at half time the week before and they beat Armagh, which was first time in living memory Kevin Horlidge beat Armagh, and then Canis wasn't able to play against Monaghan, they still won it, and he's the captain of the team this year. So you're right, it seems to be a rising tide has lifted all boats there. So it's just a really great story, and you know, I think I would have had my doubts over the years if Horland would ever take root in Cavan. And I don't say that as a looking down my nose at Horland, because I'm also involved in another GAA code which struggles in terms of handball. But
really, I don't think anybody would know that.
I don't like to mention that. But I'm actually now, like, you know, sometimes when something amazing happens, or something you don't envisage happens, there could be a great legacy from this.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot more needs to be done in underage, of course. But if they can get that right now, and there is a pathway there as well. And you know, you'd have to say Cavan are in a very strong position to challenge for the Lorrie Mar Cup now. They seem to be ticking all the boxes that you would want. Like, they've got very high player retention, they've retained their management, so they're making incremental progress in that regard. They've also played in a final already now at this stage, and that's absolutely huge for any team looking to make a breakthrough. That it's so hard to win a final at the first time of asking. They get back to Croke Park this year, the occasion I don't think will overwhelm them like it did the last time against Fermanagh, and so they also got all the extra games they got last year, like beat Monaghan by 2 goals last year, but they went on to win the Lorrie Maher. They've now beaten Monaghan again there, I think, by 2 goals. So everything says that Cavan are good enough to win the Lorrie Maher. So look, that's for a bit down the road, but it would be just great to see that bunch of lads getting their reward. I know they've already got a National League medal, which was lovely to get, but the Lorrie Maher is their aim.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, look, one of the players who's going to be key in that one is Dermot Kearney, and I caught up with him a little bit earlier on.
Gee, Gritch, Dermot, kind of a tattoo.
Just more or less, Damien. Come on, my to him.
I tell you what, that's about as far as I can go. But I know you're fluent, and you like to throw in the couple of fuckle. I'm doing my best to try to add them in as we go. But look, I have a long way to go. You're in high dough and in good form with the Cavan Hurlers. Yous are, you know, riding the crest of a wave at the moment. Spoke to Ollie last week, and he was saying how there was a little bit of fear when the promotion happened last year, that he thought, God, what have we got ourselves into here? But my God, you have adapted really well to Division 3A.
We have, absolutely. And the fear factor you're saying there, it absolutely would be a lie. All cards on the table to say that there wouldn't have been a fear factor playing at a higher division, because you'd be second doubting yourself. Had we the players to compete against the teams that traditionally we wouldn't have even been near playing against. But yes, I know it's been said before, but we end up playing there at the weekend against one of our top scorers in the last couple of years, and our captain coming off half time, like, being able to still have the players to come on, to fill in the gaps, and end up beating a team that won the championship that we ended up sickeningly losing out on playing in the final last year. So that, I suppose, in itself shows that not only have we went up in a step in leagues, that obviously the players are still improving as the year, as the trends go on. So whatever hundreds of sessions that we've done since losing out on the last day of the championship last year against Leitrim at home, to now be in a position where we're playing against teams that are kicking the arse of the Christy Ring Championship year after year, it shows that things are going in the right direction, thank God.
What's the change? Because it was unthinkable for Cavan to be at the level you're currently at a few years ago, to realistically believe from a point where there was no team to now being making steady progress year after year.
To put the finger on one specific thing would be very difficult, because I'd have something to say about something in particular, and the next fella would have something else to say. But not to blow the heads of them, but I'd put a lot of faith and trust in a lot of people agreeing with me that the two men that have come in from the north of the country and the west of the country, who have traditions behind them, the commitment that they've been putting in out of the four of the last 5 years to bring us the different levels, because you don't come into Cavan hurling circles for fame or glory or personal ego boosting. You do it because you simply have a love for the game, and To come to training on a Tuesday evening after a day's work, only 7 minutes drive from Kingspan Breffni, and you're meeting lads that are there before you, who've after doing their day's work and travelling a couple of hours, to put in the hours of planning that they've done, and they buy into you, they buy into the Cavan hurling idea, and they buy into the 25 players that's in front of them that are playing hurling from the age of 8, or they're playing hurling from the age of 28, and they just buy into us and really, really give us the belief that we're able to play against these teams that are have tradition behind them, the pedigree behind them, that we're going up to meet them. It's not a case of really them coming down to meet us in terms of the teams we're playing, that we're rising and bridging the gap to meet these teams rather than there being a serious decline in the other counties. So, I don't know now. It's just, as I said, the last 3 or 4 years that there's been an increase in the standards of trainings and the standards of players that are turning up the train, the standards of the quality of the players that are training because of the professionalism that has been brought in the recent years, I'd say.
They're very interesting characters, both Ollie and Tom, in terms of, I say it about, Ollie is one of the most infectious people you can ever have a conversation with. You come away from it always feeling happier and uplifted. And Tom is one of the cleverest strategists I think I've ever come across, thinking of the technical aspects and the tactical aspects of games. So they're such a unique combination to land in Cavan. I suppose maybe a stroke of luck, but it's something that Cavan's massively benefiting from. And use them as players. And this is the thing that I love about it, is that it's a lot of players who have played maybe a bit of underage hurling, but the improvement in use as players, particularly the Cavan grown players, that's what I'm really excited about.
Well, I don't have the stats to hand, but I know from looking around the changing room around me that there's been lads following me at underage level in Coutil Club, and I've been playing against enough of these Cavan Gales lads from on midnight leagues in October in 2012 and 13, and freezing cold weather, and I'm still getting PTSD from Jack Barry lining up a shot in 2014 that hit me in the thigh, and we were wearing hoodies underneath the hurling helmets. It was that sort of weather. And I'm playing with him now 10 or 11 years later, and he's still the same striking technique, and he's the same running technique as he did then. And I'm seeing the two of us, to pick only a few examples, to see the two of us now playing at the levels of hurling and Cavan that haven't been seen before, that hopefully we'll be in a few years' time talking about where we are now, that we'll still be rising up the ranks. But yeah, the homegrown side of things, again, a pool of players that are willing to play and train because they want to. It's a pool of players that have come up and risen through the ranks in hurling that still have as much love for Gaelic football as they do for hurling. But yet, we're choosing to play hurling in the county where there's obviously the pulls and obstacles that have to be overcome to get representing your counties in hurling, where you still want to be able to represent your club in football level or county level, but willing to make that sacrifice of, right, look, Joe, I'm going to put my football ambitions to one side, my handball ambitions to one side, my work ambitions to one side, to commit to training 3 or 4 times a week for the hurling for the split season now, whatever, 6 or 7 months. That is a commitment being made by Cavan players. That's not a commitment or a luxury or something that is commonplace with the lads who are after landing into the county who've been playing hurling for the last 20, 25 years. This is something that we've chosen to do because of the newfound tradition or maybe outlook on hurling and Cavan, that it's, you know, it's not a burden to have to make this choice. It's something that we want to do. There are men down the years who have chosen to maybe not make that sacrifice, and that's of course fine as it is in any county, but to have the group of players that we have now that are born and bred in Cavan and their fathers from Cavan and their father's fathers from Cavan, that we're still here choosing to play hurling, and I think that has paid the dividends now, because it's, as is case in any football club in Cavan or any hurling club in Kilkenny, to train 3 or 4 times a week you need a dedicated group of players, and you couldn't do that if you had any amount of guest players, or if you had any amount of players from outside the county. Wouldn't be possible. So to have that luxury now of such a group of homegrown players that are willing to play hurling for Cavan and that is their first choice priority. It's definitely a great position to be in.
Yeah, it definitely is. It has the feel of a tipping point. That you know, it's I know that we started and had our first Hurling Camogie session in Drumalee last Friday night, and to see 22 kids there and another five or six that were couldn't make it on the night but are keen to go. I was told when we were going to start it that it wasn't possible. You know, there won't be enough interest in it, but yous are changing. And in fairness, with the Camogues over the last few years as well, changing the perception and everything, the idea of hurling in Cavan. And I think yous are maybe unaware of what an impact yous are having around the county. But look, at fair play to you so far. Talk to me a bit about Saturday. The first half, the last time over in Markovitch Park, didn't go well. And yet in the second half, came out and played Stormer. I said to Ollie after that game, you know, was there not panic? Was there not worry after the first half? But he said he felt you were still in the game at halftime. Is that just Ollie all the time?
There'll be a bit of that, all right, Damien. A bit of that. Look at 15 points down against a very good Sligo team at home now. They were well deserving of their 15-point league. That there's no two ways about it. We, unfortunately, have been too consistent this year in terms of being too consistently slow out of the box and too consistently up in the gears to get back into a game and sometimes coming so close, sometimes winning the game. That's been too familiar for us that we'll have to get that change fairly sooner rather than later. But no, look, Sligo are a team now that, to be repeating myself, but they've been playing at a higher standard than us for the last 4 or 5 years since we last met them in the National League, whatever, 2019, I think it was. 4 points difference in the end. I'm not afraid to say that it might have been flattering to us to be a 4 point difference. We did come back into the game, but they, of course, as teams would be 15-point lead, they wouldn't have been willing to show their full hand, as is the case at the weekend. They lost to Mayo, which I would read absolutely nothing into. It was more of a dead rubber. Them two were going to be qualifying for first and second anyway. So we are under no illusion that who has improved the most since that first round game, us or them. I'm in no doubt that it's been us that has improved more and us that have learned more about what we need to do rather than them. If they come into the game thinking that they're going to be playing the same team in the first 30 minutes, 35 minutes that they did in the first round, that'll play into our hands, I think, because we're a lot sharper, we're a lot more savvy now to the standard of the hurling that we need to be reaching. If you think about their games before that first round of the league, might have been a couple of challenge games, a McGurk Cup game in early January against Fermanagh, and then the last summer against a Leitrim team who weren't going to be qualifying for a Larry Mar final, regardless of the result that day. So then the previous three or four, two competitive games before that game, you know, you're still playing at Division 3B, Standard Hurling, Larry Mar, dead rubber game hurling, to that first round against Sligo, who lost out by a point in the Christy Ring Championship to get into the final last year. So if they go into that game thinking that it's the same Cavan team that's going to be playing them, they will be in for a shock. Now, we will go down there with absolutely no fear. We'll make the bus journey down, knowing it's a game that's, as we said, it's uncharted territories for us. We've never been there before. How we'd love to make it to National League hurling finals in a row would be absolutely brilliant. But it's a great standard of hurling to be playing. We're going down there to express ourselves and play again with no regrets as we did the last day. As Ali alluded to, I'm sure that we were still in the game, 15 points down, as in we still had chances to score, we still had mistakes to recover from. So if the same happens again this weekend, in the second 35 minutes instead of the first 35, we'll definitely make a good account of ourselves anyway.
Without a doubt. Looking at even from the Sligo game, the panel has got stronger. I know your brother John back in now and helping out, but there is a good bit more strength. The question mark obviously will Canis and the other injured players be used, or might it be a rush to try to bring them back too soon? Laurie Maher, I presume, is still number one goal for the year.
It is, yeah. No, funny you say that with the brothers. No, John in this year, but Keevan's looking on from Sydney, so I can't get playing with the two of them now at any one stage. But yeah, no, Laurie Maher definitely would be no secret from the start of the year. I remember we had a meeting early December last year, the day of the County Hurling League final. So that's a long time ago now, and we set out our goals of the year and stuff. And it's not a secret to go shouting from the rooftops that serious regret of not making the Laurie Maher final last year and having bet the two finalists that were in that final. Yeah, Laurie Maher is going to be the main goal this year. We got a reminder of the fixtures this year, the dates, the locations, etc. Everyone's just, you know, really looking forward to playing that. You know, the weather's going to be better, standard the hurling, the slitters are going to be lighter, the grips are going to be dry, the boss is going to be dry, unlike a completely different sport we played on Saturday there with the rain. But look, as I said, a great couple of weeks ahead for us. We'd semi-final and hopefully a final to look forward to, and a week or so rest before the first round that is absolutely within our means to go and continue the success we've had from last April 2023 and build it on up to hopefully a late run into the first weekend in June this year.
Brady's Arva Limited, main dealers for Volkswagen cars and commercial vehicles, have been serving the needs of the motoring community in Cavan, Longford, Leitrim, Monaghan, Meath and the surrounding counties for over 50 years. A family-owned and family-run business, Brady's are famous for their long association with the GAA. If you're looking for a new or used car or commercial vehicle, check out Brady's Arva Limited. They provide an unrivaled sales and after-sales service and are open 6 days a week. Brady's Arva Limited. Get on the winning team today. See www.bradysarva.ie for more details.
So very, very best of luck to the hurlers. Throw-in is at 2 p.m. in Markovic Park over in Sligo. As I said there will be covers on Northern Sound. So tune into that one if you can't get over. If you can get over, I promise you, you'll be entertained. You will be thoroughly entertained. It's an excellent, excellent team that are working so, so hard for the jersey. It's infectious to watch. So I'm looking forward to getting over to see that one, and the very, very best of luck to all the lads. Okay, moving on to Cavan against Fermanagh. This Saturday evening, 7 o'clock in Kingspan Breffni. Paul, the closer we get to this game, the more important it feels to me. And I know it's not going to make a big difference in terms of Sam Maguire. There's no prizes for third position. There's nothing really mathematically that states it's important. But for me, it becomes very important on the back of a draw with Meath, a humiliating defeat with Armagh, and our next competitive game after this one is Monaghan. I don't think we can afford, I don't think Cavan can afford to go in on the back of two losses and a draw into the championship.
Yeah, it's a fair point, actually. I hadn't thought about the draw with Meath. So you would be going in and not having won a game in three. And that would be far from ideal. Like last year, Cavan tailed off at the end of the league as well. And two disappointing losses. One of the worst first halves I've seen. Again, I forgot about that one yesterday when you were talking about on the Diehards podcast about Cavan's tendency to be poor in the first half and better in the second half. So we saw it last year as well against Antrim when they were 10 points down and almost got something out of that game. And the league final as well, where I think it was a draw at halftime and they ended up winning it by 6 last year. So you'd love to see Cavan coming out and really tearing into this game. You kind of have to see that, don't you, at this stage, because we want to see vital signs of life after the Armada defeat. We want to see the signs that the players are really stung by it. Yeah, so it's a test. It's a tricky one for the management, I think, because with Monaghan coming down the line in a matter of a couple of weeks, if there's anyone in any way injured, they're not going to play, I don't think, in this game. But at the same time, the management have got to be drumming into the players that we can't be beaten at home again here by another Ulster team on the eve of championship. To go three games winless, heading into championship, all of those things that you rightly said there. Cavan have got to put their best foot forward and have got to put in a performance and get a victory here.
They do. And we've got to do something about this home record. It's so bad. Can we go this entire league without winning a home game?
like that would be really scathing for Cavan. You know, Donegal, 1 point loss, draw with Meath, and then if you don't beat Fermanagh, it really puts the term home advantage under severe pressure.
It does, and like when you see a team that's losing games at home, what's your immediate impression of that team? Soft touch.
Completely.
You know, yeah, you want there to be a team, you want your team to be a team who others will look at and go, oh Jesus, that's going to be hostile going up there. That's we don't want to get them away. Like, teams don't mind coming to Breffni.
Wicklow created that in Ockram. That it became an idea or a term that, oh well, Ockram's a tough place to go. How can Ockram be a tough place to go when you don't win a lot of games? But they won more home games than anything. Whereas Cavan, and again, I was meant to look this up before, and I'll try and look it up as we go. If you take out Division 3 and Division 4, how many home games have Cavan won in Division 1 and Division 2, you know, in the last 10 years? I think our home record has been just so bad.
Oh, it's been shocking. It's been shocking. Our away record is probably better. I'd have to look through the exact stats, but it seems that our home record is dreadful. And like other counties regularly seem to go a year or two unbeaten at home. Like Fermanagh went nearly 3 years there a while back, and Derry went 7 years or something in the 90s. Teams are able to do that and make themselves very hard to beat at home. Cavan aren't able to do that for some reason. It's going on a long, long time. It's going on right back to the days of Terry and Val and Tommy Carr. You know, it's not Mickey Graham. It's not a recent development, this, and it's something that you just don't want to see. So that's another factor. You know, Cavan, you don't want to lose to your local rivals, another Ulster team at home again, finished the league without a home win. They beat us in the same fixture in Breffy last year. And it goes back again to the thing about Cavan not having high cruising speed. Cavan have a habit of, if the gun's not to the head, the effort levels don't seem to be good enough in a lot of games. We saw that last year, as I said, the Antrim game and the Fermanagh game, when Cavan were already promoted. So that's not conducive to developing a consistent form, you know, in terms of your performances want to be relatively steady rather than these big spikes all the time. And if you're kind of throwing your arse at it, in the lesser games, it's not conducive to that. So it's very important, I think, for momentum and to restore confidence, and for a whole host of reasons like that, which are outside of the actual mathematical benefit of getting 2 points. There's a whole pile of important reasons there why Cavan have got to play well this weekend, put in a performance, and get the result. And also, if there are a few players injured, I thought Raymond wasn't hugely convincing after the game in when you asked him about the injuries. Not I would say not hugely convincing, but I got the impression from his tone that those lads who were injured last day won't be playing this week.
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity for other fellas to come in there as well. So it would be great now if some fella comes in off the bench and gets a couple of goals or has a big game in midfield, or, you know, marks a good forward and really shines, because I think there are positions up for grabs now coming to the championship, and the management would want to get as many options there as they can. Talk about a dress rehearsal. Like, this is still a National League round 7 game against a Fermanagh team who are scrapping for their lives. So it's a big opportunity for players on the panel, especially when there's a few injuries and so on, to get in there now and put further their claims for a place on the championship team. So I do think it's a big game. It's a dead rubber in one way, but in other ways, it's actually a very important game.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be considered a very important game. A clarification from the Die Hards podcast earlier in the week. I went off on a bit of a rant about Kieran McGeaney and how miraculous the job was that he's done, considering he had no on-the-ridge success within the squad. One of our very shrewd diehard listeners got in contact to remind me that in 2009, Armagh won the All-Ireland minor title, and Rory Grugan, Andrew Moran, Aidan Faulkner, James Morgan,
and well, Super Campbell, Stephen Campbell was on the panel apparently earlier on, and it didn't make the team come the championship stage. But the spine essentially of the team from Saturday night: Aidan Faulkner at centre back, Rory Grugan centre forward, Andrew Moore in full forward. They all have All Ireland medals in their back pocket. So, while it kabunks what I said on the podcast during the week earlier, it reinforces what I consistently say on the podcast, is that underage success is the best way of you achieving senior success at some point. It is your best chance of doing so. And so that's clarified. I was wrong, which proved me right. If going back to this home thing, I'm just looking here. 2020, Cavan in Division 2, 3 home games, I think it is. How many did we win?
2020. Well, I know. Let me think. I know we lost to Clare, we lost to Roscommon, we lost to Kildare.
So we won one against Westmeath. Sorry, we had 4 home games and we won one against Westmeath.
Westmeath, that's right. Yeah.
2019, we were in Division 1.
2019, we drew at Kerry, didn't we? We beat Roscommon.
We beat Roscommon. That's it. Yeah.
And then, did we have 3 or 4 that year?
Let me just double check it here. I think we only had, so we beat Roscommon, drew with Kerry on the second last day. And so that's 1, 2. We had 3, lost to Dublin the first day by 6 points.
Oh, yeah.
So again, that's 3 wins, 1 draw out of 9-10 games in Division 1, Division 2. Like our home record, if we delve into that properly, our home record, I'd say, in Division 1, Division 2 is absolutely deplorable.
Yeah, it's desperate. I remember in 2015 playing in Division 2 and Cavan were actually going okay, and then lost successive games at home against Kildare and Down. It's a dreadful home record. 2013, there was an outside chance in 2013 on the last day of the league. It would have taken, in fairness, it was essentially a dead rubber. It would have taken several results to go our way. But we played Roscommon, I think it was, in 2013, the last day of the league in Breffni. And they beat us as well. Last year, Fermanagh beat us the last day. We've a desperate home record.
Sorry, it was 2017 that we played Kerry and drew with them.
Oh, sorry, 2017.
That was our only point at home in Division 1 that year. So we won away to Mayo and drew at Kerry a week later, but lost 2 home games against Dublin, and the other one was Donegal. They beat us 116 to 11 points. So again, it just compounds how bad the home record is for Cavan.
Last year we were put out of the Ulster Championship and the Tailteann Cup, both at home. That was our 2 biggest games of the summer, and we lost them both, and they were both at home. It's a very bad record. Monaghan beaten us in Breffni in the championship twice in the last. They beat us in 2015 in Breffni. They beat us in 2018. Was it 2017 or 2018 under McLean in Breffni? 2017. We've a dreadful home record, and it's not getting any better. So it's important that Cavan don't lose another game at home.
This is something that we heard Ollie Bellew there talking about that. The hurlers targeted the home games and went and won all 3 home games. So they put a specific focus on it. But what makes a home venue a difficult place to go to?
I don't know. I think there's a few factors there. One is, I remember Mickey Hannon quoted me some study he had read looking into this, and it found that power output among athletes was 5 to 10% greater at home, and what they attributed that to was that there was extra adrenaline by formulated because they were being roared on by large home support. That was one thing which I was very interested, but I never fully thought that was the reason. Obviously, there's idiosyncrasies to different pitches, and it would be interesting to look at counties who have a pitch which is quite unique. Like McCool Park, for example. If people are watching on TV, they don't realise the humps and hollows and slopes that's there in Ballybuffet. It's unbelievable. Well, we've seen it. If you're actually at 10 games up there, you'd be shocked. You'd generally be shocked at the state of that field. And Donegal were almost impossible to beat there for years and years. RD is another, were allowed to have a very good record. And I'd say if you went around the country, it's grounds that maybe have those few little quirks, maybe they might be, you know, more significant. The home advantage might be more significant when it's played in those places. But I think players maybe get knocked out of their stride now because they're used to probably training and playing in top class facilities. Maybe Breffni's a little bit too welcoming. Breffni's probably a lovely place to come to.
You see, that's where I'm getting to on this. That, you know, I listened to the Cork podcast, can't think of the name of it, in the build up to the Cork game. They were talking about teams love to come to Páirc Uí Chaoimh. It's the occasion, it's the stadium, it's everything around it. So there's no, you know, fear. There's more adrenaline comes by playing. And I'm not just blowing up Kingspan Breffni, but it's a beautiful stadium. It is one of the best stadium around, you know.
Yeah.
And therefore, it gives that adrenaline. It's funny that, like, the Athletic Grounds is probably a really nice stadium to look at. But when you're coming out of that tunnel, it feels very claustrophobic. It feels very tight and everything on top of you, even though the pitch is as big as Breffni, I think. But it doesn't have a welcoming feel to it. Kingspan Breffni has a welcoming feel.
It does.
You have a long approach onto the field. It has everything that you kind of dream of as a kid. And it's something that, right, we can't change the look, and we don't want to make Kingspan Breffni look any less. But we've got to create some sort of horribleness about coming to Kingspan Breffni. But and for me, the way we do that is on the field. You know, we've got to become nasty. We've got to say, this is our home ground. We're going to hit you. We're going to walk into you. And I don't think we're getting enough of that out of Cavan teams at home. I think we're, you know, I think back to when Cavan went to, I'm just trying to think, was it Laois or Offaly? And they were made do, let me just think of the grounds. It has the, yeah, I think it was, it must have been Tullamore. And they were made do the warm-up on a wee triangular pitch at the back of the terrace over, and in a tiny wee corner of it. I remember Terry was over the team, and Terry and the lads were kind of telling me after, or it could have been Pádraig Dolan or some of them, that they were told, listen, see that little 20-metre square? That's where you have to do your warm-up. And they were made not feel welcome. And That kind of brought the best out of Cavan on that occasion, that they were like, well, we'll show you won't even let us warm up on the main pitch here. You won't, you're putting us into a corner here. And I think actually the phrase "we are Cavan" was bandered about that day before, this was before the podcast even got going in 2012, maybe it could have been 2013. But the thing being like that, we need to create that little bit of nastiness for opposition, that they don't want to be here, they don't want to come, that they feel, they come away from it, they go into the game firstly saying, they're going to make things difficult for us. They're going to make everything we can difficult. Including, I remember a time when the Dublin backroom team was coming for one of those Division 1 games in Kingspan Breffni, and there was a whole section of the press area set aside for the Dublin backroom team. The Cavan backroom team were actually asked to move to allow Dublin to put in their backroom team. This sort of stuff, it should be told, listen, you can have four seats. The rest of you can feck off into the stand. We don't care. Like, you know, we've got to be a little bit nastier, I think, and make it a hostile place to come.
Yeah, that's right. I've seen a Donegal underage backroom team one time in some game. It was unbelievable. You couldn't work beside them. You couldn't listen to them. They took over the place. And yeah, that those little things. Yeah, maybe that's just us fighting our own battle up in the press box. But yeah, I don't know how you go about doing that. It's sort of an intangible thing, but if Cavan are to achieve success, it's going to be very difficult to do it if you're losing half your home games. And yeah, even in the lower divisions, we've seen this. Like, we lost a game at home last year in Division 3. We lost a game at home the year before in Division 4.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad. Now, the only thing I'd say, away from home records, but looking at records in general, I think we have a better record against Fermanagh in the last 12 years or so than any team that we've played in that time on a consistent basis. There might be teams that we played once or twice and beat, Leitrim or Carlow or Waterford, for example. We've played them only maybe once or twice. So we've obviously 100% record against those. But in terms of teams that we have played a lot, half a dozen times or more, I think Fermanagh is the team that we have the best record against. Don't get me wrong, they've beaten us a couple of times. Beat us last year, they beat us in 2021 in Brewster. But Cavan have beaten Fermanagh a lot. Like obviously last year Cavan won the league final. Come back to 2013, Cavan beat Fermanagh in the Ulster Championship and in the qualifiers. 2012, Cavan were going poorly and went down 7 points down. Garrod really came into the game and beat them down in Brewster in the Championship.
Sure.
There's been lots of wins over Fermanagh. We beat them in the Tailteann Cup, beat them well there 2 years ago. And we've beaten them quite a lot in the league. We beat them in the first round of the league in 2014 in Breffni, a rare first-day win for Cavan. We've beaten them a lot in league football as well. So that's a big positive coming into the game. Like, regardless of how good Fermanagh are or how bad, I don't want to disparage them, but I will definitely say that Fermanagh hold no fears for Cavan.
Yeah, they shouldn't. And don't, I'd imagine. The big thing for me here is that you go down to everywhere, sort of from Beltorbet right through to Black Lion, and this is the derby. This is the biggest one of all, and this is massive. I was speaking to somebody from West Cavan, and they were saying that, look, at all we're talking about is this game at the minute down around Ballyconnell. It's, you know, right. Can you imagine how good it would be if we relegate Fermanagh? If we beat Fermanagh at the weekend to relegate them, like they're hungry for this one. But I'm curious, even within the team, then obviously we have Jason McLaughlin. That it would be massive for. He's down that end of it. But do we have enough West Cavan players to make this the big derby?
Well, sure. I still think it ranks about third in the derbies for Cavan after Monaghan and Meath, even though we're not even on Meath's radar in terms of derbies, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago. But it's still a pretty big derby around Red Hills as well, like, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it is. It'll be a big one for Fermanagh too. It could possibly be Fermanagh's biggest derby, I'd imagine, close to it. Like, yeah. I don't know, maybe Tyrone, maybe Donegal, but I would say Cavan is a pretty big derby. So it's interesting that the derby stakes can be higher on one side of the border than the other. But looking at Fermanagh, what do you associate with Fermanagh teams when you think about Fermanagh over the last 10, 12 years? What would be your initial thoughts about how they might play the game?
Big numbers back, breaking at speed, maybe leaving one or two target men up front, namely Quigley usually, or that sort of a cut, and trying to work the system in their favour.
That's exactly what my thoughts are as well. But I actually had a look back through their results earlier on, and I think, even though this hasn't been much hyped, all it takes is one pundit on the Sunday Game or something to point this out, and suddenly it becomes accepted as common knowledge around the country. But if you look at it, I think there's been a real sea change there under Kieran Donnelly in the last couple of years. Like, the 2022, they finished fifth in Division 3. They exited the Ulster Championship against Tyrone, scored 2-10, conceded 2-17. That's not a defensive team. You're playing a blanket, that can't happen. Both those things cannot happen if you're playing that mass blanket that they're playing. I don't think you can score enough if you're also conceding 2-10, 2-17. Not the way they used to set up, which was incredibly negative.
Fair on that game, because I remember Joe McQuillan refereed it. I remember watching that game. I think you went down to it, did you?
That wasn't the one where I complained about the price of tickets. No, that wasn't that one.
But I remember that game, and it was quite defensive, but it opened up. It opened up a lot as the game kind of went on. But they did set up defensively that day, but with a really good counter-attack. And what happened was that they were caught on the counter-attack a few times, which meant their defence was wide open. And Tyrone were just brilliant on the counter.
Well, they subsequently conceded 2-16 to exit the Tanchin Cup against Cavan as well. So 2-17 to exit the Ulster Championship, 2-16 to exit the Tanchin Cup. Last year they went into the Ulster Championship. They were beaten the first round by Derry. They led in 3-17. Again, scored 2-8. So I think there's been a change there. They've tried to score a bit more, and that has required them to free things up a little bit at the back. And I think they're conceding too much for the most part. Last year in the Tanchin Cup group stage, conceded 1-13, 2-7, 3-13. Now, that is not the hallmark of a defensive team at all, conceding 6 goals in 3 games.
This year in the league, they've conceded 12 points, 12 points, 2-16, 1-14, 15, and 3-11. Six.
In the 4 divisions this year, only Monaghan have conceded more. They're the second worst defensive record in the country. Now, in fairness, that's skewed to some extent by that horror show against Loud the last day. But at the other end of the field, only Meath, Kildare, Wicklow, Limerick, Waterford and London have scored less than Fermanagh have scored. So they're actually there's 2 teams in our division who have scored less than Fermanagh, but there's only 5 teams in the whole country that have scored less.
One of those teams is Meath, who have a brilliant defensive record.
Yeah. And that's it. And
that balance kind of right.
Well, if you're not going to be scoring much, you've surely got to be tight at the back. But you can't be, if you're not scoring much and you're leaking scores like mad, you're going nowhere, obviously. Now, the funny thing is they have actually kept 3 clean sheets in their 6 games today. They kept clean sheets against Meath, Kildare, and notably against Armagh. They held Armagh to 15 points.
I'd put a caveat on that clean sheet with Armagh. That should not have been a clean sheet. There was an absolute stonewall penalty that wasn't given. It was a high press that Armagh were doing on the kick out, on the Fermanagh kick out. And as clear as the nose on my face, the Armagh player coming through was dragged back, and as he was pulling the trigger, his right shoulder was being pulled. I don't know how the officials didn't see it, but that clean sheet does come with an asterisk.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, well, that kind of does help my argument then about them leaking a lot of scores. But here's the interesting thing. So I look back through some of their match reports. So I was trying to see, like, they started the league well. I watched their win over Kildare and GAA ago at the time, and they played very well that evening. And then you see them conceding 6-17 against Larry, 4-7 to 7 points down at half-time. That useless plotter Sam Mulroy with 2-3 from playing first half, and I was like, well, let's have a look here and see. Maybe they were missing a lot of bodies and so on. It was the exact same 15 which beat Kildare, which conceded 6-17 in that defeat to Louth. So riddle me that one. It was the same. There was some positional changes as per the team sheet, but it was the same 15 players. And like, they do have a lot of experience in that team. Like, if you look through it, they've got the fist pump Collins there in the full back line, who are 2 serious leaders in that team. They've got Decky McCusker, who I think is the captain this year, a very experienced player. Ulton Kelm has now come into that leadership bracket in the team. He's not a prospect anymore. He's here now, and he's a player to have the look to. And then they've lots of good young players as well, like Josh Largo Ellis, Brandon Horan, Hogan Cup winners. Johnny Cassidy has been injured, and he's an important player. Like, he's an excellent man marker. But I think on paper, like, they should be doing a little bit better than they are doing, especially with the Collins there. Like, they're excellent defenders and strong fellas and good leaders. So something has gone awry there with Fermanagh. It doesn't make sense that the same 15 that could beat Kildare early doors could be so far off the pace against Loud.
Now I'll take this back into part of the earlier discussion. The Loud result has to be put into the bracket of RD. You know, they've made it such a difficult place to play. That's why probably Cavan's win in RD becomes more impressive, because that's what now? Did Loud have three or four games there this year and only lost to Cavan? They beat Cork, they beat Fermanagh, they lost to Cavan. I'm not sure had they another league game there. But it is the definition of a fortress. Generally, I think Derry and Cavan are the only two teams that have beaten them there in the last couple of years. So that does add maybe a little bit to what Fermanagh walked into and maybe weren't prepared for. The interesting one for me is when I was looking back on the match reports, looking at the scorers in particular for Fermanagh, and I thought I'd see Ulton Kelm, you know, being consistently 3, 4, 5 points or something a bit more like that. It seems like he's not playing that close to goal, or he's definitely not playing the scoring role. Like, the top scorer is Garvin Jones. Sean Cassidy seems to be scoring the next highest scorer after that. And then what they actually are producing is a good number of scorers in each game. You know, they're at 6, 7, 8 scorers every single game. So no one player is stepping up and lifting the entire load, but not enough of the players are contributing it for their tallies to get to a high level. Like, I think they're averaging half a goal a game and 10 points a game in the league so far. So, you know, they're not scoring enough. Remember Matty McLean saying 18 points is the golden number that you'll win whatever percentage of games it was. They're so far off that 18 points, you know, they're closer to 12. It's something that I think that Cavan's defence should be able to hold this Armagh or this Fermanagh attack. It's, can Cavan's attack score more than the Fermanagh attack on it? Like, it comes down to, we need to score here.
Yeah, I think we can analyse it all ends up here, really. Like, Cavan just need to go and play well and win this game. Like, I think if Cavan play well, they should win the game. Everything in the form book tells us that they should. The only thing, the concern I would have is that Cavan don't tend to play well in these situations where they are sort of strolling along and you know, there's nothing major riding on it. And we've seen so many times over the years, even in club football, when we're doing podcasts around the group stages of the club championships and so on, that a team with something to play for against a team with nothing to play for, a big gap can be closed. And there mightn't even be that big of a gap between Cavan and Fermanagh, who knows, but a gulf there can be closed by that desire to get the result. Interestingly, Damien, looking at it, if you have to call it now, who's going down in this division?
Oh, well, sure, Kildare's gone, aren't they?
Kildare's gone, sorry. So
it takes, I haven't got the table.
It's Fermanagh or Loud.
And Loud have what, 4 points?
Loud have 4, and they're going to play Kildare and Carlow. Fermanagh have 3.
Yeah. Fermanagh's going down regardless of what happens. Even if they beat Cavan, Loud are going to beat Kildare.
Away. I wouldn't be that sure of that. I wouldn't put the house on that. I must look up the odds. Yeah, exactly. True, but
who has positive momentum coming into the game?
True, but I do feel that Kildare, there's bound to be a kick in Kildare. Like, they're not going to want to lose all 7 games in the league. And they're going to need something to cling on to and some platform to build for championship. Like, they're 13-8, Kildare. You know, the bookies aren't totally writing them off here. Cavan are 4-11, Fermanagh 11-4. I just wouldn't be putting the mortgage on Cavan at 4-11 against a Fermanagh team who has to win and won at this venue last year. But the interesting thing is looking at the Leinster Championship draw. Kildare are playing the winners of Westmeath and Wicklow. Loud are playing the winners of Carlow or Wexford. And if they both advance, they play in a semi-final for the right to get into the Sam Maguire. So you know, that Kildare Loud game is going to be interesting too. There's every chance that they'll meet in a Leinster semi final. So Kildare are not going to want to lose that game, regardless of it being a dead rubber for them. If they could relegate Loud, they'd be delighted.
Yeah. Like, again, though, I just get the sense from Kildare that the wheels have come off and they're not going to be able to just pin them back on at a whim. I have a feeling that this has the feeling of the end of a reign for the current setup. I wouldn't be surprised, but they lose this game and they actually go out of the Leinster Championship on a puff of smoke where nobody even notices it happening, that it becomes insignificant. I don't know. Kildare are that fickle of a county that, you know, they could be in an All-Ireland semi-final or they could be in the Tailteann Cup. Such is the abundance of talent that they have. But talent isn't worth anything if the attitude isn't right, if the culture isn't right, and there's something wrong in Kildare. So I don't know. I would not be surprised to see Kildare not make that semi-final. And if they make that semi-final in Leinster, my money would be all over Loud in it. Or Westmead. Sorry, it's Loud Westmead, isn't it? That we said.
It's Westmead and Wicklow plays, the winner of that plays Kildare, and then it's Carlow or Wexford, the winner of that plays Loud, and then it's Kildare playing into Loud.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but Westmead give Kildare a beating. Well, as in could beat Kildare, and if they do get over that one, I'd still fancy Loud. There's a doggedness about Loud. There's a steel about Loud. So yeah, I don't know. And given that,
the best thing you could do if you want to get into the Sam Maguire is just bomb in your provincial championship. Rest everyone. Don't worry about it. Get in and beat all the bad teams and win the Tailteann. And you're guaranteed to get into the Sam Maguire's fourth seed. Isn't that ridiculous? So you think about that second rate Tailteann, the way it rewards mediocrity there, like.
Well, it doesn't. No, it rewards a team that actually can go and win it. Like, if we're talking about mediocrity, let's be fair about it. Cavan last year would fall into that bracket of mediocrity because we couldn't win the Tailteann Cup. So,
well, I would say
take away from it in any way at all.
Mead with their history. Their population and resources and everything else they have going for me to even find themselves in the bottom half of teams in the country, that to me is mediocre. Mead shouldn't be in that competition. And it's going to be won by underperforming strong football counties. That's what's going to be. So that's what I mean by it rewards mediocrity. I think when Mead ended up in the Tailteann last year, every Mead supporter would have said, oh my God, this is the pinnacle of mediocrity for Mead football.
I don't know. Like there was a period there when Mead weren't in the conversation at all. And, you know, at least they were in some conversations. Whether the conversation was that they deserved to be in the Tailteann Cup or not, there definitely was a conversation around it. Mead weren't in conversations for a long period there. So I don't know. I agree with you. The Tailteann will be won by the stronger bracket. I think there should be a third tier. I think I completely agree with you. But I'm still hurting that Cavan didn't win the Tailteann Cup. I genuinely am. I'm hurting that we had two attempts at it and we couldn't win it. That to me was a bad thing.
But I think the Westmead loss that time, in particular, because you'd done the hard bit, you got the croaker. There was still a buzz around. People were still kind of enthused by some of the good football that was played against Donegal that year. And if they had won the Tailteann, it would have got you into the Sam Maguire, and you know, it probably would have kept positive momentum at the time. Unfortunately, you're right. Yeah, last year, I don't know. Well, in hindsight, last year, look, it would have guaranteed you your place in Sam, but they've done that now anyway. Before we finish up, Damon, we have a little bit of audio from Arthur Sullivan, our man in Berlin, just explaining about the seeds and so on, and explaining a couple more permutations on the Sam Maguire. So this will illuminate people further on what's likely to happen.
The good news from Cavan's perspective from the weekend's results is that Fermanagh's defeat to Louth means that they can no longer finish ahead of Cavan. So that further limits the possibility of Cavan missing out on Sam Maguire football in the event of a few shocks in the provincial championships, because that's one more team who can't finish above them in the league. So really and truly, at this point, we can very, very safely say that Cavan will be playing Sam Maguire football in 2024. It would take what I would describe at this stage as very implausible outcomes in the provincial championships for Cavan to miss out. And just to look at that in a little bit more detail, all that really is left to be determined from Cavan's perspective in Division 2 is whether or not Cavan finish above or below Cork. Obviously, Meath could also finish above or below Cavan, but Meath's placing doesn't really matter because Meath have already qualified for Sam Maguire football. So will Cavan finish above or below Cork? Well, obviously, that depends on the final round of matches. Cavan are currently 1 point ahead of Cork. But it doesn't even matter to any great extent, and here's why. So at the moment, even if there was, for example, to be a shock in Ulster, if Down were to beat Armagh and qualify for the provincial final, if assuming that is the Ulster semi-final pairing, which on current form we probably can safely say it probably will be, but even if that were to happen, Cavan would still qualify for Sam Maguire football regardless of whether they finish above or below Cork. Now, if there was also to be a shock in Connacht, then it would matter if Cavan finish above or below Cork, but there is a very, very, very small likelihood of there being a shock in Connacht. If we look at the draw there, Galway are playing London. The winner of that game will play Sligo or Leitrim. It would require one of those three lower-ranked teams, so Sligo, Leitrim or London, would need to reach the Connacht final ahead of Galway. Or potentially on the other side, New York would need to reach the Connacht final, and they obviously have to get past Mayo and Roscommon. So I think anyone can say that that's hugely, hugely unlikely. So unless that happens in Connacht, Cavan are in the Sam Maguire, effectively. And even if that extremely implausible scenario were to happen in Connacht, well, then Cavan could still finish in the Sam Maguire if they won at the weekend against Fermanagh, or if they simply finish ahead of Cork. And then just one other final point on this. It doesn't matter in terms of the pots for the Sam Maguire, for the All-Ireland Championship, where Cavan finish in the league. If Cavan finish third, they're guaranteed to be a pot four team. If Cavan finish fourth or fifth below Cork, they're also guaranteed to be a pot four team. And the simple reason for that is as follows. There's only six counties who will finish ahead of Cavan in the league standings this year who are guaranteed to reach the provincial finals. And that's because of the fact that in both Munster and Leinster, there's going to be two provincial final spots going to teams who are going to be ranked below Cavan in the league. So we know for sure there will be 10 counties finishing ahead of Cavan in the league system this year. That's the 8 from Division 1 and Armagh and Donegal. Now, if only 6 of those 10 are going to get into the All-Ireland Championships via the provincial final route, well, then 4 will need to be getting in via the league route. And those 4 will be your pot 3 teams. So for that simple reason, Cavan's result against Fermanagh will have absolutely no bearing on which pot they're in for the All-Ireland Championship. And as we've already outlined, it's very unlikely to have any bearing, full stop, on whether Cavan qualify or not. We can safely say at this point that barring huge, huge shocks in the provincial championships, Cavan have qualified for Sam Maguire.
Yeah, so we're going to be in the fourth seed pot, it looks like. Sorry, that's unless Cavan get to the Ulster final. But at this moment in time, it looks likely that Cavan will be in the fourth seed pot. So that's going to be interesting. The draw could go really anyway in that. You could end up with a very tough draw or a draw that you could, you know, where you have a lot of winnable games. Like, we could end up in a group with Galway, Clare and Monaghan.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
You'd be looking at that saying that they're all winnable. Or you could end up in a group with Dublin, Armagh and Tyrone.
You see, you put that up on the WhatsApp group the day before, and I asked the question, which would you prefer? And there's part of me that is leaning towards the Armagh, Tyrone, Dublin. Was that the second group? For the simple reason that by God, you are going to be tested. They are the best of the best. You know, they're higher ranking and they're bigger games. But where do we want to be playing? In games that we think we can win or play the very, very best? And that's, I'm torn. I don't know which I'd prefer. I think I'd like to play the very, very best because I think you're going to get better by playing the very, very best. I think Ray Galligan feels the same. That's why he went after such difficult challenge matches and really chased for promotion this year as well, which I think is the right approach personally. So I don't know. I'm still thinking I wouldn't mind Dublin, Tyrone and Armagh in the All-Ireland group stage. And by God, you imagine we win one of those ones.
Ah, all bets are off. Yeah, it'd be like the flan, Kevin, if we could beat one of those teams, especially Tyrone. Yeah. Dublin would be great. Armagh would be sweet. But if there's one team in Ireland I'd like to beat at this stage, it's Tyrone. I'm sick losing to them.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, give us a call. Kevin or Fermanagh at the weekend?
I think Kevin is going to win it. I have to believe that Kevin are going to bounce back now from last weekend. I think we could see some fellas coming in off the panel and putting their hand up here and having a breakout performance. Or when I say we could, I hope that's what happens. I think it's a great opportunity. Interestingly enough, looking at the panel, I was looking on the Cavan GAA website just to dig out the report on last year's league final. And interestingly, there's a photograph when you go on the website and look at that game. There's a big photograph of all the lads celebrating at Croke Park after winning that final last year. It's quite striking how many of those lads are gone off the panel or haven't got much game time this year. Like, you've got in that photograph Brandon Boylan, Conor Madden, Garode McKernan, Conor Smith, David Brady, Johnny McCabe, Conor Mina, Jack McKenna, Liam Brady's obviously injured, Keevy McGovern, Evan Finnegan's on the panel, but he hasn't had much game time. I believe Evan's on the panel as well.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of players there, isn't it? So there's quite a lot of turnover on the panel.
Do you know what's probably disappointing in that? I just happened to pull out the Offaly Talchin Cup programme the last day. Brandon Boylan scored 2-2.
Yeah.
You know,
he was the find of the season last year, so.
And now he's gone. And in an era when we're looking for forwards, yeah. You know, we're asking the question, who's going to be our top scoring forward from open play or who's going to be there for Paddy Lynch to act as the foil for him? Do you know what? I want to see, do you know what I'd love to see? A couple of things this weekend. I'd love to see Cavan really aggressively go after the Fermanagh kickout. Really press up on them from the start and say, right, this is, we're going to put you under pressure from the start. We're going to make sure that you feel like this is a horrible place to be. I'd love to see Cavan as well maybe go with Oisin Brady and Quaven O'Reilly and Cormac O'Reilly and Paddy Lynch in the forward line. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think that they're score getters. But explain to them that in order for four of you to be on the field at the same time, you've got to work damn hard when we don't have the ball. You've got to do the other side of the game. It can't be just staying up and neglecting your defensive responsibilities. The way we've seen Conor Torbert and Andrew Moran and these lads last weekend, Oisin Connery, working really, really hard defensively, but contributing a lot going forward. That's what I want to see. And I wonder, I don't think it'll happen, but I think we need to see our forwards doing both sides of the ball better. You know, taking on the responsibility that, okay, for me to get five chances in a game and score three of them to stay on the field, I'm going to have to work hard when we don't have the ball. And if we can get that, I think, because I don't think there's any difference personally between an Oisin Connery and a Quaven O'Reilly. I think Quaven could be better than Oisin Connery, but we're not getting the very, very best out of both sides of this. So I'd love to see that. And I put that into Oisin Brady and I put that into Cormac O'Reilly and so many more of those forwards. Ryan O'Neill, sorry, has to start, by the way. He's a definite after last week. But it's, you know, maybe two more. Paddy Lynch, Ryan O'Neill and two more of the three guys starting and being told, right, lads, just get out there and work your socks off, get forward when we have the ball, get back when we don't, you know, help out the team. And if they can execute that, I think we might be, because we have to unearth forwards. One way or another, by hook or by crook, we have to unearth scoring forwards or scorers anyway. So I'd like to see that. I think it'd be a good positive. And even if it didn't work out that terribly well at the weekend, but if we could find some positives in it, it might be a step in the right direction, because I think our ceiling is visible at the moment because of the lack of scoring power we have from open play. I want to break that ceiling.
Yeah, and get a goal or two as well. That'd be great. It's Cavan for me.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm going to give Cavan the nod on it. And hopefully it goes well. Commentary is on Northern Sound at 7 o'clock for all those who can't get to watch it. Obviously, first preference is get in the Kingspan Breffni and support the boys in blue. But if you're anywhere else and you can't make it, tune into Northern Sound. Myself and Mickey Brennan are on commentary, and also the hurling will be on Northern Sound, as we said earlier on, at 2 o'clock. So best of luck to both Cavan teams at the weekend. Paul, thanks a million for your time.
Cheers, Damo.